Father, help me to get off my notes when I'm supposed to, and please don't let me wander off on when I'm not. Lord, I would be spirit and in truth as best I can be today. I'm not perfect. I really want to display your heart, and I want to do it so well. So, Father, I pray that that would happen, and that you talk to each individual heart about whatever you want to talk to each individual heart about. And at the end, you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in the book of Acts of the Apostles. This is Acts 4 plus. That's the name of the episode today, I guess, because and sometimes that's a negative thing. I was thinking, no one, male or female, loves it when their pant size goes up a plus or two. No one goes, yeah, man, I was hoping for quadruple X on that move. No one ever said that. Like, oh, no, you know, but right, we do. We love it when we get an upgrade, like in your TV package. Like, oh, I'm on plus plus now. I get everything. I get stuff going on in Nigeria. I can watch plus, you know, or you get the executive Costco membership plus. You're like, well, I'm going in before everyone else. Everyone's waiting outside in the heat, but I'm an executive. Excuse me. I got the plus package, you know. I'm just, yeah, you know what I'm saying. The mic working as it feels dull. I'm good. Did my way down. Yeah, I felt the downness. I don't know if you can hear me. I can hear me just fine. I hate when I walk into a room and I hear Dr. Heidi listening to the message the day before because the sound of my own voice drives me insane. And I don't even recognize it's me first. I go, hey, shut that guy down. He's awful edgy. You know, what's up with him? You know, I don't know. Today's message, if you decide there's anything that God pluses out to you specifically, in his word today, pay attention to it. I'm going to start out with a slide, one of our points to ponder. I think I've got a slide I'm starting with. Wait until he fulfills his promise. Wait until, until, how long do I got to wait? Until he fulfills his promise. Pray while you wait and get your house in order, you know? You got stuff. Everybody's got something to get in order, from your china cabinet. Do people have those anymore? To, I don't know, to your toy box, to your gun cabinet, to your backyard, tool shed. I got a couple weird drawers that just dump stuff in. I probably got three of them. You know, like, why is all that in there? I don't know. I organized two of them when I was in Uganda. They don't back 3 weeks. They're looking like they did before they left. Yeah, but you got to get your house in order. Some things in your life, emotionally, you go like, I found Jesus, but I need some emotional help. I found Jesus, but I need some physical help. I need a brother to take me to EOS. You know, I need something, right? Next thing that we've been pointing out is be authentic. Be authentic. Nobody needs fake Jesus. That's a consistent point throughout this series. Be authentic. There's going to be another whole level to it today. Be authentic. Plus, God doesn't tolerate fake for very long. Like, he'll let you fake it for a while. If you fake it till you make it, that's not how God works. Fake it till you broke it. That's kind of how it works. And then people go, oh, you broke it. You was faking. Yeah. It's good to hit that place where you go, I don't want to fake it anymore. I don't want to fake it anymore. I want authentic Jesus. Give me authentic Jesus. I don't want any Jesus, you know. So, we've learned that so far. Here's another good one we've learned. Be open to whatever God wants to do. God wants to do. Whatever God wants to do, be open to what God wants to do. I'm really open to the things I like. I'm open to brownies, dairy-free ice cream, that's good. I'm open to burgers with green chili. Whenever God speaks about those things, I hear him very easily. Do you say, Whataburger, green chili? Wow, Lord, that's the third time this week where they're in Uganda. Boy, you are speaking. You know, no, I was faking it. I just wanted green chili. Lord is like, you better not, the heartburn. I've been trying to tell you, no, slow down, you know. But you got to be open to whatever he says. Sometimes he'll ask you to do something that's uncomfortable. He'll ask you to stop doing something that makes you uncomfortable. He'll ask you to start doing something that makes you uncomfortable. That is in your walk with Jesus. If you authentically walked with Jesus, please feel vulnerable to raise your hand in a crowd of people. But in those moments when God asked you to do something that was uncomfortable and you did it, Did it make all the difference in the world? Yeah, man. It changes things, right? Another point we learned last week, we're all born lame. All of us are born lame. You know, we're all born lame. All of us sinned, we're all born lame. And the last one is you can only give from what you really have. You can ask me for a million, I can't give you that. I got like a 5 spot in my car that I keep for such occasions. If you need it, it's in there. Catch me after church. You ask me for a mil, I can't give it, I don't have it. But the hard part is, a lot of times, and I'm picking on the whole church, me, Church Universal, everyone, the church, I'm picking on all of us, all right, all of us. The world has needed Jesus sometime, and we didn't really have him. And he's looking for his church to really get back a hold of him again in ways that maybe we thought we had or we were going good, but he's like, there's another level to that. I believe it's coming. Speaking of that, maybe take a moment right now. Ask him, the God of the universe, to fill you with his spirit if you never have met. And maybe, I'm just going to submit to you before we get into the message, maybe you have been, but it's a long time. You're like, well, there's only one baptism. Yeah, it's in him. And he wants to meet with his people as often as he can. So without any shenanigans, I would invite all of us to close our eyes for a second and just ask. I'll ask for you, and you ask for you, because your ask is bigger than mine. Father, authentically, fill us with your Holy Spirit again. And those that have never had that experience, Father, fill them this morning. In only ways you know how. Be who you are, not a conjured up entity, but be who you are in your people, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Just ask him. And I want to submit this. If you can't even ask him, I wasn't looking. No, I'm looking like, you're looking right through my soul. No, I'm just looking out. Sometimes I do it on purpose, people I love. I'll stare at Kaylee for a while until she cracks, you know. And she'll stare me back like I ain't cracking yet, Pastor. You know, she just, yeah, I love that. That's why I got this shirt on. I'll explain it later. If you can't even ask him, though, then ask yourself honestly, why? Why can't I ask my God for more of him? Why? Why can't I? And if you want more of him, I pray that you do that daily. I want more, right? So I'll go back to a couple things in a second. But regarding the Holy Spirit, there are so many here. If you need like more information, there are so many here that have spiritual and scriptural insight to the Holy Spirit. Our pastoral staff is great. Grab a hold of them. There's real people here with real Holy Spirit experiences that God has been in their lives. And they'll encourage you. And they'll encourage you this. God has changed them by his Spirit. And if he's still in their life, God is still changing them. That's what his Spirit does, right? You may get hear a miracle story or two, you know. So if you need to see Pastor Justin, Pastor Jody, Dr. Heidi, Pastor Sharon, Charity, Ed, I'm going to throw you under the bus because you're right there. You know, see one of those guys. That's great. Say, Father, I am the church now. Please fill me. Say, Lord, fill me, use me however you desire. All right, let's go to the slide one more time, but it looks the same, but it's a little different. I'll tell you why. Wait until he fulfills the promise. As we've learned, pray while you wait and get your house in order. Be authentic. Be open to whatever God wants to do. We are all born lame, and we can only give from what we really have. So here's the weird thing we're going to try. We're going to have a contest. I'm not a social media jive guy, and it would make you want to have to put it on the internet, and I hate when me being on the internet. So this goes against my comfortability zone. But message the Facebook episode whenever it gets posted, this episode, whenever it gets launched or whatever they do, what you think the point of the sermon should be today. I want you to, like, yeah, did you say even if there is a point, Kaylee? Oh, my goodness. Wow, you're starting strong this morning. Okay, oh, Kaylee. Wow. Pastor Sean. But message that, post it, and what stuck out to you. Like, if something stuck out to you and the Holy Spirit's doing it, and it's not like, oh, I can't put that on the internet. Fine, don't put it on the internet. I have friends, like, if you follow me on the internet, I have friends from all over the world. And they've got various levels of Jesus in their life. Some of them have never met Jesus. And they'll post things on my Pastor Sean Facebook site that will make my wife go, oh, my gosh, who is this guy? Ah, right, you know. So I'm asking you to don't make my wife go, ah, they posted that. Don't do that. I thought it was funny. It's probably not. I'm going to be in trouble, you know. But next week, if you post some things on there and the Lord hits me, I may just use your point in my next week points. So I'm just saying, Lord, help them. Let's pick up where we left off. Acts 4:13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness. See the boldness. Saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men. Say, hey, I'm an ordinary man. Like, wait a minute, that's not fun to say. Yeah, but last week I made you say I'm lame. That's bad. Ordinary's upgrade. At least you don't go from lame to ordinary. Who'd rather be lame or ordinary? Yeah, well, ordinary is an upgrade. But we're talking about something a little different. They were ordinary men, just ordinary men. Men who were available, men who were usable, and men who were obedient. Ordinary men. Men with no special training in the scriptures. Yep, to that point, they had no special training. But you know what's amazing? When the Holy Spirit comes on somebody, it sure amps up the process of you loving the Bible and the Word of God. Before I was received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, reading the Bible was kind of this chore I wanted to do for God. I will read it from cover to cover, and I will learn its words. There's a lot of words, man. So many words. And some of those words are like, oh, I don't want to read that story. They shouldn't even put that on Netflix. That's terrible. Samson, you're a fool. I don't want to read you. And some like Leviticus, and they did what with goats? And they spread the ashes and where? Mount Ebal. I get bogged down. But one of the greatest things, I don't know if you've noticed this and you can testify, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of the greatest things that happened in my life is the Word of God became more alive than ever. And I couldn't wait to read it, and I wanted to read more. And I'd have encounters with him, and he would talk to me about things in my life through his Word. Anybody else? Like, that's the greatest thing. I love that, you know. I love he amps the process up, right? And an amazing product, byproduct of the Holy Spirit is increased connection, right? So I got to go so my Father, Spirit can be with you. Like, I always want to be with you. It gives us greater understanding. We just talked about that. And an increased passion for God's Word and God's people, right? So that's legitimately what his Spirit does. It says this, they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. So remember I gave you homework last week. Anybody remember what your homework was? Oh, who did that? Pastor Sharon. Is there extra cupcakes? She gets one. Pastor Sharon. The key is to be with Jesus as often as you can. You know, it's okay to play 2K sometimes. It's okay. It's okay to go bowling. It's okay to go to a hockey game. It's okay to crochet for an hour and a half. I don't know what your thing is. It's fine. But when you have the opportunity, be with him as often as you can. Because sometimes he'll change your circumstances. And sometimes he'll change your perspective on your circumstances. And sometimes he just changes you. You know, it's the prime reason for the Holy Spirit is that we would be connected to God. He didn't come to give us gifts. That's a byproduct of connection. He didn't come to give us gifts. He came to intimately and intensify his relationship with you. Right? So did anyone make 15 minutes more every day to be with Jesus this week? Pastor Sharon's getting double cupcakes. How about 15 minutes more than usual? From the response, that is assignment that is reassigned. Reassign that assignment. Acts 4:14. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. There was nothing the council could say. Don't bring that weak sauce in here. It's good when he hushes haters. I'm sorry. I just love it. The proof's in the pudding. I love when he hushes haters. Say, shh. I wore this shirt on purpose today. This is my Makembe Mutombo t-shirt. fortunate enough to know a guy, one of my friends, that are probably our political views don't allow and all sorts of things. He's got a heart of gold. And his best friend was Bukemi Mutombo. And one of the things I remember most about Mutombo was his attitude. When someone brought a layup into the lane, he would send it back, he'd block it, and then he'd go, And I especially love that when he tried to do that to Michael Jordan. I loved it because everyone was afraid of Michael Jordan. He's like, I said, I love that. Block him. He's ruining everything in the East. That guy, block him. Michael Jordan, you know, you may all love him. That's okay. I was like, no, there's an attitude in it. I got a picture, I think, so I can give you. This is him up, right? He was 7'6". Yeah, 7'6", and he's the best shot blocker in NBA history so far, right? But when you brought something weak to him, he was like, not in here, no. And I feel like that's just kind of what this verse is like. Look, we're getting all upset, and we can't say anything because, why, there's a miracle here, so we should, don't bring that weak sauce. You can't deny it. You can talk all you want. He was lame from birth. You knew that, and now he's not. Sorry, that's how I'm broken, and I see things that are weird. Acts 4:14. There was nothing the council could say, so they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred amongst themselves. Want to hear something interesting about the religious leaders of Israel? Just them. Only applies to them, most likely. When you see them say things that conferred amongst themselves, never can I find it says, and then they prayed. They conferred amongst themselves. We know that we never make hasty decisions without making prayer first. We never do that. We always consult God first before we seek the wise opinion of someone else. We never call our friend and ask for opinion before we go to God. We never get on Pastor Heidi's counseling docket before we go to God. We don't do anything like that. We don't. You're like, man, don't assign that as homework, Pastor. But think about it. When we consult amongst ourselves, you can get some wisdom sometimes, but the first place you should go when there's a big problem is to God. And here they have what they consider a big problem, a miracle. In Jesus' name, the leaders, and they decide to talk to themselves instead about what God might be saying about the situation. Because sometimes God does stuff that makes us uncomfortable. It makes us feel awkward. We want to go, that can't be God. But the fruit looks good. Oh, before you go and ask Dee Dee what her opinion is of that miracle, what's going on in that person's life, would God really save someone? And they're messed up. Would God really use? Before you... Before you do that, confer with God. Don't consult with each other. We could learn that from them. West Side, you ready? West Side, you're over there. Malachi's like, that's where the people's like, don't call on me over here, Pastor. So I'm sitting deep. Here. West Side, you ready? Say this to the East Side. Always consult God first. East Side, you ready? Say excellent advice. All right, consulting God first. You know what it helps do when you consult God first? It decreases the chances of making big mistakes. When you can at least give them an opportunity and you make a real opportunity, your chances of making big mistakes like plummets. The chances of making the opposite also are true. Just saying. Acts 4:16 through 20. What should we do with these men? They asked each other. Come on, man. We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everyone in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them. Warn them not to speak to anyone. Warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. You know what's interesting? That happens all the time on people's jobs everywhere. But here also I want to bat it to the other side of the fence. You ready? Speak the word boldly, right? You heard the word boldly. Boldly. I want to say what boldly is not the same as obnoxious. boldly, is not obnoxious or lacking discernment. It's courageous to speak when you know you should in a tender way that represents God, though you may be ridiculed for it, but you do it anyways because you love passionately and you want them to have that God moment. You're willing to risk whatever reputation you have. That can be boldness. Arrogance and obnoxious is just arrogance and obnoxious. Boldness is not the same thing. Governments say all the time, ixnay on the Jesus A, you know? No. Ixnay on the Jesus J. You know, no pig Latin. I'm sorry. Upstate New York, they teach it. They teach it before Spanish, fourth grade. Government states, sometimes you can't. Don't. That's why Dr. Heidi and I decided our clinic's not licensed through the state. Why? Because they wouldn't let us say Jesus. They hate that we have an 85% success rate most of the time with couples. What's the success rate for Jesus? It's Jesus. Well, we ain't going to get certified with the state. Why? Because we're going to talk about Jesus. So we don't take insurances. Why? Because we want to talk about Jesus. Just saying. Certain Islamic states are very strict about not talking about Jesus. You could lose your head. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied. I love that they replied. They didn't just sit back. As I might have been, in certain times go, the best thing said is nothing at all. Bite your tongue, Pastor Sean, and walk way backwards. And you know you're going to say the name of Jesus, but don't rile them up. Sometimes I respond like that. Other times I'm like rile mode, you know, so I just don't know always. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? Do you think God wants us to obey you characters more than him? He says, we cannot stop. We cannot stop. One reason, because it's one of the things that Jesus told us to do with his spirit. Why? He said, I'm going to send you my spirit. Why? So you can be my witnesses. So the main reason was for witnesses, not for gifts, not for feels, not for whatever. It was to be witnesses, right? He says, so we can't stop. Why? Because that's why Jesus sent his spirit, and we're full of his spirit, and we're ready to do the job. We cannot stop telling about everything we ever seen and heard. I have this friend who recently got saved. He's a great disciple, but he goes, hey, pray for me. What's the problem? He goes, I'm over Jesusing my neighbor. What do you mean? He goes, I can tell I'm over Jesusing him. This is a guy that didn't know Jesus at all, got saved, like he's on fire for God. He's sincere, and like miracles are happening in his life, and God's doing crazy, awesome things. I mean, I can't tell you because it's first, but it's amazing to be on the sidelines and cheer for him. But he goes, hey, pray for me. I think I'm over Jesusing this guy. I'm like, that should be a term in the Bible. I'm over Jesusing. Yes, I'm over Jesusing. But there are times we're supposed to be bold. And he's like, I'm telling him everything. Like, I'm telling him every part of my story. And when he thought he was over Jesusing the guy was actually soaking it in. And the guy's on his verge to going to church with him. And he's only going to church three times. So sometimes when you think you're over Jesusing, you're given authentic Jesus, you don't know what it's doing in people's lives. Right. You don't. And here's another point. I know I'm slow rolling today, but you don't always have to defend ourselves. Sometimes just let the results speak for themselves. That's hard to take. When you know God's good with you and you see good results, and someone comes along and goes, you should have used a 4-inch quarter wrench right there. But I put the bicycle together. There were kids riding it, smiling, having fun. It's not falling apart. Should use a 1/4-inch 6-double patch for a wrench. Some spray bottles and bath things. Oh, yeah? Cool. You know, that was a good message, but you know, you could have said this and that script from the other thing. No. Yeah, cool. Thank you. Well, the guy got saved, and he's not lame anymore. He's jumping around. You could have done this. Bro, come on. Why? How? You don't do it anymore. Don't. Let the results speak for themselves. Sometimes you just got to go to our own selves. You got to look in the mirror and go, don't say it. Why? Because it's, but haters are going to hate. I don't know if you noticed that. But if you got God's fruit and it's good, then you can tell the hater just, shh. You can. Acts 4:21. The council then threatened them further. But they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. Now, that's kind of cool. When I read that, I'm like, yeah, I love that. You know, imagine outside the jail cell, you're innocent. You got the whole town going, let them out. We love these guys. blah, you know, you're in the newspaper, want to interview this guy when he gets out. I'm going to be famous. It's cool, the crowd's behind them for now. But crowds can be fickle. If you're looking for crowd affirmation, it's going to be a long road in your walk with Jesus. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign and the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. You know what's interesting? They all should have been praising God for that. Never. Not us. I'm just talking about some Christians someplace. I've heard it said that sometimes when one Christian gets blessed, sometimes another Christian gets envious of their blessing, even though like that person was lame for a long time in that part of their life and that God blessed them. And sometimes somebody says, why not me? Instead of going, yeah, I celebrate that. I'm going to send you a burger. I'll repost it. Boom. Yeah. You know, just saying that some people still have some lame issues. When some seen the lameness, though, in our lives that we've had for years, and then you really changed, you're really healed of something from God in your life, it's going to encourage all the other lame people around you. Right? When you see someone finally moving in life, that God's doing something awesome, it encourages our souls. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Right? We're supposed to be walking out of some of our lamenesses and what God is doing. And when you're walking through your lameness, you're getting out of it, you're getting changed. You're inspiring the other people that never thought they could. Right? He's going to send people to you. When you get out of one lameness, he'll send you somebody. Why? Because that's your job. Right? Acts 4:23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders said. Why'd they do that? I mean, it's obvious you just want to spread information, right? But the Christianity stock was on the rise. It was Bitcoin and a dollar. Right? Woo! That's things happen. See that miracle? Yeah, everyone's like, whoa, Peter John. They're getting Peter John shirts. You know, Peter John for 2020. They're just vote Peter John. Yeah, whatever's, they got to have it. They're awesome. Yeah, Jesus did this and Jesus did that. Like, woo, yeah. And you know what? Every time you walk by the Pharisees and said, you just go, you can do it. You know, no. They won't care to say, Jesus, you know. Christianity stock was up. Christianity popularity was gaining, but he told them because it's going to get harder. He warned them. They can't say they weren't warned. Jesus warned them. Peter was like, listen, fellows, followers of Jesus, disciples, the time's come. Being God's disciple may end up costing you jail. He's talking to them. We haven't experienced this here, but there are countries that do experience this. The time's coming that they're going to beat you. Do you want to get baptized? Do you really want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Because I want you to know there may come a time in your life they'll beat you for that decision. They're going to humiliate you for that decision. Some of you are going to die because of that decision. So basically, Peter and John came back and said, count the cost. Why? That's our first arrest. Jesus warned us about it, and they warned us to stop further. Remember when they warned him what they did? So he's making it real, discipleship style. There's a cost, right? Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to smush, like I told you I'd be smushing. I'm going to smush Acts 4:24 through 28. I'm smushing it, and I recommend one thing. If I left that on a plate, go read it. It's in there. It's good. It's God basically, in the Old Testament, foretelling of stuff that's going on. It's like, back in the day, I told you this was going to happen, and that's why I smushed it. Let's jump to Acts 4:29. And now, O Lord, hear the threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Remember, boldness is courage. It's not obnoxious arrogance. Give us boldness, courage to preach your word. Anyone need more boldness in your life when you're representing Jesus? There's places I could be more bold. I could be a little more bold. I always worried I want to over Jesus people. But sometimes in my worrying that, I under Jesus them. You know? Anyone need more love? Anyone need more of a spirit when representing him? Like, I wish he knew. I have the boldness. When I get there, I just go, Jesus. And they're like, what? Jesus. And they walk away from me. Like, okay, we need to work on your presentation for sure. Sure. Give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook. I wish we shook every Sunday with your worship. Like, bring a shaking. Bring his presence to your worship. Bring his presence to your, and you'll actually, I promise you, if you'll bring God's presence or seek his presence for sincerity, authentically, and you want that, at some point in time when you release a sacrifice of praise, you will feel the presence of God in your life. You will. He inhabits praise. Give us your service boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand. Do miracles. After saying this, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Hold on! I thought they were already baptized, like in the upper room. Wow. So people say, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it was 1972. It's a sunny day. That was, 10 years ago. That was, I remember that day. And that's awesome. But I want to encourage you to seek him more. I want to seek him more. Maybe he's talking. Everyone in that room wasn't at the first meeting. They were all like, what could he come? But I want to submit to you this. Maybe every time the Holy Spirit of God shows up, he can always fill you with more. You're never full to satisfying. You're never fully like him. You're never fully changed. You're never fully anything. And the more he shows up, let him make you more fully. So if he's filled you once, doesn't mean, I'm like that with water, and it's terrible. I'm drinking Dr. Heidi right now. So good for me. Thank you. Sometimes, though, at the end of the night, she'll say, how much water did you drink today? And then you got to go, I have to tell her the truth. How can I say it in a way that sounds good? Probably choose two or more. Yeah, like how many more? And I grab the bottle next to me and go, three. You need to have more water. Man, we need more Jesus. Like, we need more of his spirit. And if you've had an encounter with him, I seek him for another one. Just be open. And be authentic, right? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God, a major purpose in the filling. They didn't share their own opinions better. They didn't start a blog. They didn't write a book. And recall, they were just ordinary men with no training. But now, with his spirit, they plussed up. They can preach God's word with no training. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:32-37. And all the believers were united in heart and mind. That's rare and beautiful. All the believers were united heart and mind. Like the Steeler fans and the Cowboy fans were singing worship songs together. What, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Soccer mom and hockey dad are next to each other. Are you kidding me? Woo! They're at the buffet preferring each other. No, you can have the last meatball. No, you can have the last meatball. It's crazy. And they felt that. Now, check this out, though. This is not expected. And sometimes I've seen this abused. They felt that. They, in their relationship, their baptism of the Holy Ghost, their encounter, their unity, they felt that. They were strongly moved to be generous. And generosity usually causes unity. They felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land and houses. So that's really cool to me, because I always picture every disciple back then as dirt poor, and they barely could survive. I found Jesus, and now I can eat because he makes fish appear. But there must have been some wealthy folks because they had lands and houses. So I thought that was cool. And they would sell them to bring the money to the apostles and give to those in need. That's really cool. They felt to take some of their stuff. They're legitimately taking some of their stuff as followers to legitimately help people who were legitimately needy. I've seen that equation messed up a lot. I've seen the not legitimately needy talk about being legitimately needy, and they're not legitimately needy. They have a lot of reasons why they're in need. But it's not all legitimate. I'm just telling you, God says stuff about work. And he says about give to Caesar, and he says about give to God. He talks about things like that. So sometimes I've seen that abused on both sides of the fence. Anybody? Thank you, Mr. Wilsoncroft. I love you, dude. I've seen this type of generosity, though, done well many times. People pull together and do stuff for God to help someone who's broken. Man, it's some of those beautiful things. There, in many ways, I've seen it in this church and many other churches. We've come together in some crisis times, and as horrible as the crisis was, the beauty of the unity was overwhelming to me. Then he says this, for instance. Now, usually this is like a side note, right? For instance, but this next guy gets saved and filled, and he's a next generation God guy. I love this guy. And so do the 12. Like, I love this guy. There was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas. They gave him a nickname. You want an apostle, you know, you want a nickname. Unless it's not something lame like Stinky. You don't want that. You know. And they named him Stinky. Like, come on, in the word forever, I'm Stinky. Give me something cool, you know? But they nicknamed him Barnabas. You know why? Because it means son of encouragement. So Barnabas was a guy who maybe acted like my daughter Kirsten. If you've been around her more than a minute, she's full of bubble and encouragement. Even when she's going through harder things you would know, she's going to bring encouragement. And a lot of people like to hang out with her, right? Because she's an encourager. I got friends like that, just, man, they'll just encourage you. Call them when you're sad, tell me something. Why? Because they're encouraging. You have people like that in your lives? You have people that, if you have people that are any encouragement in your life at all, treat them like gold. Polish them. Polish them. There's someone that actually encourages you. Encourage them that they encourage you. Why? Because they made an encouragement. And God points out this guy. His highlighted point. What was his main powerful skill in the Holy Spirit? Encouragement. Man, what do you think lacks most in the world? You know why people come to Ethos Counseling a lot of times? Because hope has been kicked out of their life somehow. And when you have no hope, a little bit of encouragement goes a long way. Just a little bit, right, Sully? Just a smidgen of encouragement. Goes a long way. Remember to polish it. It says, Barnabas was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. Sounds like a cool place. And he sold a field he owned, and he brought the money to the apostles. When ordinary people really become more like Jesus, and become more focused, they naturally become more generous. I've seen that 100 times. I've seen some of those miserly people in the world. I'm telling you, find God, and they become some of those generous-hearted people you can imagine. And remember, it's not about what you give, it's about what you have. And I know some of those generous people in the world who don't have a whole lot, but boy, they sincerely will share it with authenticity. And you know you've been loved, right? When ordinary people are available for God's whatever, the world changes. Look at someone next to you. Say, be authentic. Look, we can finish. We're going to finish good here. I'm going to dip my toe in chapter 5. I almost was hoping we'd run long because I was like, do I dip this in there, Lord? I was going to dip out on it. It's like, dip, dip, dip. Oh, dipping in. Acts 5, 1 through 11. Dipping in. You're making fun of me. I'll probably hear about it later. It says, but, there's almost always a but, and there's a tough lesson on important things being taught here. This is a lesson of being authentic, and it's a hard lesson. You ever learned a really hard lesson? One you're like, I hope I never, ever, 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 ever have to learn again. And sometimes you got a mark on your body or a mark in your life or a mark on your calendar or a mark somewhere that makes you go, that was the hard lesson of my life. I don't want to relearn that. Authenticity can be a hard lesson. There was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He bought part of the property to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, they kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? Whoa. Pete told another believer, your heart is full of the evil one. Guess that can happen. It can happen when you're not being authentic because you're so copied so much that you don't recognize the real thing. And fake copies are fake copies. It can happen. He says this, you lied to the Holy Spirit. You lied to the Holy Spirit. You lied to the Holy Spirit and kept some of the money for yourself. Now he gets into it, goes, the property was yours to sell, wasn't it? We didn't tell you to sell the property. You could have done what you wish. You sold it, did whatever you wanted to with the money. No one forced you, bro. You could have done whatever you wanted to. You could have bought season tickets to the Suns. Terrible investment, but you could have. How could you do a thing like this, Ananias? You weren't lying to us, but to God. Say, don't lie to God. Say, be authentic. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Look at your neighbor and do this. What? When I first read that, like for the first time I found Jesus, I go, whoa. I'm going to see what that says in the Hebrew. What does dead mean? It means dead. Dang. That's harsh. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Yeah, I bet they were. That's some big lesson on disrespect coming hard. Everyone who heard it was terrified. Then some of the young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, was this the price you and your husband received from the land? He gave her a shot. Yes. Yes, she replied. That was the price. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? Now, what is the one place God tells you to test him? In giving. It's the only place you'll find. He says, test me. Tithing. He says, test me. Any place else, he says, do not test the Lord your God. Don't test me. Otherwise, don't test him, right? The young men who had buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. And instantly she fell to the floor and died. When the young man came in and saw that she was dead, that's a rough day for the church ushers right there. Barry, can you imagine, bro? Like, all right, man. Like, we found other bodies back there in the track, Pastor. I said, that's not us, bro. I don't know what's back there. Just bury them, I guess, you know. When the young man came in and saw she was dead, can you imagine explaining that to the police? Like, he was coming up, he gave something. Apparently, he lied and he died. Uh-huh. Come down to the station, Pastor Sean. No, I'm telling you, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Sure you did. That would be hard to explain. That's a rough lesson. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who had heard what happened. Say, be authentic. All right, so be open. This is a season to be open to God like you've never been open to God. Be open to him on levels that you never let him be in your life and let him be in there and let him say and do whatever he wants. And even if it's weird and it causes you a little stress, if it's God, be open to God. Be open, right? And then be authentic. Don't fake it. We don't want to hear that. No one wants a blowhorn for Jesus in their ear. Be authentic. Be where you're at with him, right? And recognize we all need his spirit, all of us. And we all need freshness in that area. So don't forget that point. And here's my last point. You can stand with me. My last point is this. God should be respected. He earned it. Even if we don't like sometimes the outcome, we don't like the things he asks, or we don't like his rules or his laws or his ways. That doesn't earn the right to disrespect him. And we have a culture that you can disrespect anybody on Facebook in any position you want and share our opinions of disrespect. And sometimes it's good for revolution. Things need to change. When it comes to God, we got to... We don't want to learn lessons of disrespect. So If he's asking for something in your life, give him all of it. Because that's where freedom comes, right? And so, once again, I'm going to ask, if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to, real simple again. If you need more of God, I'm going to pray you get more of God. So, Father, this morning, I want more. And I want to be used by your Spirit, not use your Spirit. Be used by your Spirit more. So, Father, I ask that you baptize New Season Christian Fellowship and all the disciples that are here from other churches and other places and those that maybe not even know you, Father, you would light a fire of your authentic presence in our hearts and consume us, that we could be bold in the way you ask us to in our very own lives. And you'd be glorified in that boldness. So, in the name of Jesus Christ, be baptized and filled and lack nothing, church. In Jesus' name, amen. Love on someone on your way out the door.